Hello, this is Ellis Prince, the pastor of the Gallery Church of Baltimore. I want to thank you for joining our podcast today. I hope this teaching inspires you and gives you courage to pursue Jesus Christ. I hope that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. If we can help you in any way, please feel free to reach out. Now let's get back to the podcast.
All right, so I'm going to read the scripture for today. It is Acts 2, 36 to 47, correct? Aye, aye. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the Lord heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupted generation." Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. Amen for that one. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily to those who were being saved. Amen. Man, can I just say this real quick? Can we, like, start doing that? Like, why is this not happening today? Like, if it's not going to happen, at least let it start in the gallery, and then it'll bleed everywhere else. Like, let's start doing that every day. That's what I want to see. Anyway, hi, Dad. I know you're watching. Don't cry too much. Let's be the reading of his word.
Amen. I think we should pray after that. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning full of many different things. Lord, we are thankful for the fires that you've brought us through, but we are also in different fires all at the same time. Lord, we acknowledge that. This morning, we are asking for you to reveal yourself to us in new ways. We're asking for our hearts to be prepared for what you want to share with us this morning. Lord, all the distractions that are swirling around in our minds and our hearts this morning, would you quiet them so that we can focus on you? Lord, we need your strength in us to do that. And Jesus, for me, Lord, may the words out of my mouth be from you. May my tone be from you. We are expectant for what you want to say to us this morning, and we are ready for you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. I need some water. I asked Caleb to share a little bit before. I wasn't prepared in my heart for that. So, good morning, everybody. Good morning, family. Good morning to those of you watching online. It's my hope that by the end of this morning, the fire that you have inside for heaven as it is, for earth as is in heaven, would just burn brighter than it has in a long time. It's my hope that this morning is a taste and see that he is good kind of morning. And I think that it's important to set the stage with the what was happening in Acts 2. It's like my dad shared last week during Pentecost service. In Jerusalem at this time, they were celebrating Shavuot, which is the Jewish festival of first fruits. So Jewish men were pilgrimaging to Jerusalem, bringing their offering to the Lord. And what's so cool about God's timing is that he met these men there with his spirit. So they left, not lacking the offerings that they brought to the Lord, but they left with his spirit, which is the greatest gift that they could ever have. And so when we're reading through the Bible, it's so important to be aware of the timing of what is happening, because God is, he is so intentional. Acts 1 and 2 are insatiable chapters. Like, this is the turning point of the church. Like, this is the launching pad into where we are now. Everything that Jesus talked about was for this. At the end of his ministry, all the things that Jesus was sharing was, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, this, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that. It's happened. We get to read about it. So if you're doubting and wondering if the things that the Lord says are true, like, here we get to see. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to do great works. What happens immediately? They're in a church, capital C church, and there's no need among them. Like, right off the bat, we get to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit by saying yes. The coming of the Holy Spirit activated and awakened the church that Jesus talked about, the church that Jesus died for. And what I also love about this passage is it is a direct representation of the branch and the vine, John 15. If you were here for my teaching back in October, we talked about how the word for takes away every vine in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. That word takes away actually can be translated to lifts up. So every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he lifts up to himself so that they may bear more fruit. Well, here, the early church, they're literally in the upper room. They are lifted up. The Holy Spirit is breathing life into them, and immediately there's fruit. We get to have that same interaction with the Lord every day. And I could just sit in the reality of that for 25 minutes, but we're going to keep going. Let's go to verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. The word that I really want us to land on today is devoted. Devoted is the natural progression from abiding, because abiding produces obedience, and obedience produces holiness. To be devoted is to be obedient. To be devoted is to risk it all constantly over and over again and choosing Jesus. The word for devoted is Strong's 4342, and it means to continue to do something with intense effort despite difficulty. It's used a lot of times in the New Testament, but in Colossians 4 and Romans 12, Paul uses it to describe how you're supposed to be constantly in prayer. So despite the difficulty, despite how challenging it is, keep on praying. It's also used in Acts 8 when Simon is baptized. It says that he continued on with Philip. Despite the difficulty, he intensely kept on with Philip. It's with that kind of vigor that we have to pursue the Lord. Being devoted is not supposed to be easy. It will not be easy. The word devoted in and of itself already means that it's going to be difficult. But we have God-given strength and God-given understanding that we have to pursue. Our priorities are going to shift. When you have the Holy Spirit living and breathing and moving inside of you, there should be the fruit of divine desire. Divine desire, which means simply, you want God, and you want what God wants. Divine desire is on our path to wholeness. It's what ushers us towards the feet of Jesus every day. It's our heart abandoned, our human heart, our fleshly heart, ever after Jesus alone, only Jesus. If you're walking with Jesus in your day-to-day life and you don't feel convictions and you don't feel tensions and you don't feel pain, you don't feel the ache of, Lord, I just want earth as it is in heaven, then to be blunt, do you have the Spirit? Do you have the Spirit? Our choice to be all in with Jesus immediately awakens and activates the deep divine desire in us, immediately activates the want for God, the need for God. We become living witnesses and partakers in God's glory when that awakening happens. Why else? When they asked Peter, what do we do? Did he say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, everyone from whom the Lord calls to himself. Baptism is the exclamation to the Lord. And if you didn't know this before you got baptized, that's really, really sad. It's saying, here I am, send me, claim me, work through me, cleanse me, make me one with you. Like, that's baptism. Baptism is not just some public show. It is a holy moment with the Lord where you are saying, I want to be yours forever. The trajectory of Acts 2 is not a formula, but it is our formation. Our formation into a fellowship geared and ready for the war that is upon us. We are called to fully cause destruction on the enemy's schemes, breaking down his curses and his power. Why else would Luke say, like earlier in chapter 2, and with many other words, he, Peter, bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. He summarized everything else he said by saying, and with many other words, he bore witness, but he specifically said, save yourselves from the crooked generation. That's what we're up against, a crooked generation. The church is meant to carry the divine aroma of divine desire that awakens and ignites the fires of passion within the church for the church to see heaven, to see earth as it is in heaven, heaven here with us now. Jesus told us to pray for that. Jesus literally said, pray for earth as is in heaven, which means it's possible. And it's possible by the Spirit of God that is living and breathing and moving among us. But we have to say yes. We have to say yes. And it goes back to the question that we've been asking since Philip and the Ethiopian. Am I included in this? Am I included? Is Gallery included? Is this beauty that we read in Acts 2, are we included in that? And the answer is yes. I want to read some of Jesus' words from John 17 over you. I would love for you to just close your eyes and listen to this. In this moment, Jesus is talking to the Father, and it's called the High Priestly Prayer. For their sake, I sanctify myself so that they may also be sanctified in your truth. I do not pray for these alone. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but for all who will ever believe and trust in me through their message. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. This is abiding language, that they also may be one with us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory and the honor which you have given me, that they may be one just as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may be perfected and completed into one, so that the world may know. The world will only know that the Father sent the Son, if we are one. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given to me, may be with me where I am. That means eternal life. So that they may see my glory with which you have given, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O just and righteous Father, although the world has not known you and has never acknowledged you, yet I have always known you. And these believers know without any doubt that you have sent me. And I have made your name known to them and will continue to make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I may be in them. What else do we need? Like this, if you were wondering what divine desire sounds like, this is what divine desire sounds like. If you were wondering what a moment of divine desire looks like, this is what divine desire looks like. Jesus' request, out of all the things that Jesus could have said, may my love be in them. May you love them as you have loved me. May they know that you love them as I have loved them. May they know. Because it can be true, but if we're asleep to it, then where is the fruit going to be? Jesus is praying for all of us to be one, and within a few months, the testimony is already happening. Do you see the importance of being a living witness? If John wouldn't have recorded this prayer that Jesus prayed, if Luke wouldn't have recorded the beautiful works that the church was doing in Acts 2, then we would not have known the immediate fruit from this moment. We have the exact same opportunity with each other to say, this is what I prayed, and this is what happened. That can be our life. That should be our life. That's what being devoted to fellowship means. That's what being devoted to meals means, being devoted to the breaking of bread with each other. That's what that means. Because how else are we going to see the goodness and the faithfulness of God if we don't talk about it? Because we have a what kind of problem? And we're asleep. We are all included. We all have a place. Jesus didn't just call the religious ones. Jesus didn't just call the rich. Jesus didn't just call the men. Jesus called the ordinary ones too, as Pastor Leon said so beautifully in the benediction last week. But our call is not ordinary. Our call is not ordinary. We are full of the power of the Holy Spirit, which means we are walking in a priestly calling, co-laboring with Jesus to complete the work that he died for. That's not ordinary. We all have access to that. But just like the early church here, in order for us to see that fruit, we have to be devoted. Not to work, not to family, not to physical appearance, not to political agenda. We have to be devoted to God, devoted to the teachings of God, the Word of God, devoted to each other. And it's not that work and physical appearance and education and family doesn't matter. But what has to come first is God. What has to come first is saying, I trust you with all of these things that I really want to hold on to. It's hard for me, and it's funny because Caleb was just up here talking about no anger. And it's true, but it's really hard for me to read this passage without feeling some anger because we have gotten so far from this. The church now, the capital C church now, has more denominations than ever before, which in other words means there's more division than ever before. Within our own church body, we have division. How have we gotten so far from what the heart of God is for his church, for his bride? We are caretakers of the children of God. We are asked to be feeding his sheep. We are asked to be stewarded with that. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Gallery, do you love me? Feed my sheep. I'll say it again. Our choice to be all in with Jesus activates and awakens our deep divine desire, and then we become a living witness. This is what happened, in Acts 1 and 2 and continues in the following chapters of Acts. They fell in love with Jesus. They fell in love with God. They finally had a clear view of who God was. They learned how to think about him correctly. And that thinking didn't just change how they thought about God, it changed how they thought about each other. Everything got reordered. Jew and Gentile, men and women, master and servant, rich and poor, it all got reordered. But it started with choosing Jesus, and it does not happen without effort on our end. Think about it this way. The most intimate way that we use our bodies is how we produce life. God made it to be that way. Why should we think that we can produce spiritual fruit without having spiritual intimacy with the Lord and with each other? How can we expect to have fruit without being wholly devoted to God, without desiring God and the things that God wants for us? God made us to be this way. It is in the secret place with the Lord that fruit is birthed. It's even in moments of desperation, moments of agony. We see that in Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. We see that in Jesus in multiple moments. Spiritual fruit can come from dark places. It is the level of intimacy that you have with the Lord in those moments. God is drawing near to us, lifting us up to himself, breathing life into us, speaking life over us again and again and again. Being the bride of Christ is a whole other sermon, so I'm going to regress. But I want us to walk away with the confidence that our divine desire will produce life. It will. It's promised. And it's not just promised. It's not just some far-off thing. I'm sure a lot of you have experienced it. Or if you haven't experienced it personally, you've seen it happen. We just read about it. Their divine desire, their want for God produced life because they were willing to change how they think about their stuff, how they think about each other, and how they think about who they were created to be. The Spirit of God is hovering in this room right now. The Spirit of God is hovering over the face of our deep. The Spirit of God is hovering over the space of our waters, waiting for us to say yes. The Spirit of God didn't just come down in this scene and then exit like some sort of Marvel supervillain. The Spirit of God has stayed. The Spirit of God has made home inside of us, inside of us, inside of us. Every chapter after Acts 2 and every epistle written to the early church after this, Peter, Paul, James, Jude, I'm missing one, John. We're writing to the early church about the mandated importance of responding to the divine desire and walking in obedience. While fully explaining the importance of protecting ourselves because we are in war. We are in war. It is war. Paul to the church of Ephesus says, because it is not a battle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Church. This church, this faith, is not some cute baby Jesus in a manger, want to feel good on a Sunday kind of faith. You come here to get equipped for war, to be reminded about the war that we are experiencing. That's what it's about. The divine desire that we feel is urging us forward while all the darts, all the bullets, all the arrows, all the attacks, all of the cosmic powers of the enemy are seeking to destroy us. Destroy. I wish we could park ourselves in Ephesians today because I love Ephesians. And I think it's really important to practice what it should be like to read the Bible in more than just a few verses at a time. But I have a brother from boot camp, and I don't want to be here all day. So So I'm going to bullet point some of this for us. And I didn't put it on slides. I just want you to listen to the fullness of the story that Paul shares in the church at Ephesus. In chapter 1, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Remember, we have to know God's love. We have to be aware of it. That the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. And he will put all things under Christ's feet and give him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fulfills it. But there's more. Chapter 2. For we are his workmanship. This is Gallery's verse. We are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works. Christ Jesus himself is the cornerstone in whom the whole structure being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you are also being built up into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. By the Spirit. It's not a choice that we just make on our own. It is the Spirit following our yes, prompting our yes, building us up. In Ephesians 3, now to him who is able to do more abundantly than we could ask, think, or imagine, according to the power at work within us. It's not just that he can do more than we can ask, think, or imagine. It is according to the power at work within us. Us individually, us collectively. Acts 2 church. But chapter 4, we have to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which we have been called. We have to put off our old self. It's not just, thank you, Lord, for building us up. Thank you for your strength. End of story. It's not just choosing to let the Holy Spirit work through you. It's also choosing to take off the world and to put on God. Rid our old selves. He goes more into it in chapter 5. Be imitators of God. Walk in love. Walk in wisdom. That's a choice that we have to make constantly. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submitting to one another because of the divine desire. Submitting to one another because when you are fully operating within a divine desire, the way that you think about your neighbor changes because you love your neighbor as yourself. At least that's what it's supposed to look like. That's what the fruit is supposed to be. But this is why we have to read the whole chapter, all the books. Because originally, they were letters anyway. The verses and the chapters, like, we did that. That wasn't how they did it. Chapter 6, he says, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Take up the whole armor of God to stand against the schemes of the devil. So it's not just about having the divine desire and walking in the divine desire. It is about protecting the divine desire. It is about protecting the Christ inside of you. Because we are in a crooked generation. We're in an evil age. Evil age. The whole world is awaiting for us to say yes. The whole world. In Romans 8, Paul is talking to the early church about how the whole world is not going to be freed from the bondage that they're in until the church acts like one. That is what we're supposed to be walking towards. The world is waiting for us to be one. The world is waiting for us to act like the church that Christ died for. That's how they're going to be freed of their bondage. So let's go back to the question. What do we do? Baptism and obedience. Repentance and forgiveness. Obedience, repentance, forgiveness. Over and over and over again. So what is keeping you? What is keeping us? I'm sure many of you were thinking, time. I don't have time. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news. Don't shoot the messenger. but you make time for what's important to you. You make time for what's a priority to you. Are you busy with what you want to be busy with, what the world tells you to be busy with, what this crooked generation tells you to be busy with? Or are you busy with what Jesus tells you to be busy with? Do you have scarcity mindset about your talents and your treasures? Our time, our talents, and our treasures are for the good of the church. The divine desire within you is going to say, oh, you have two? You only need one. Oh, you make 100 grand a year and you only need 60 to live? I'm sorry. Like, that's what the divine desire is going to do. There's a reason why Jesus asked his disciples to leave it all to follow him. There's a reason why Jesus said, there's no place for the Son of Man to lay his head. The proof is in the pudding. Literally. Acts 2 church, there was no need among them. No need among them. It didn't mean that they started eating two meals a day because they only needed two meals. No. There was no need among them. They all had what they needed. In God, there is abundance. There is abundance. He can do more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine, but we have to say yes. We have to be willing to follow the divine desire within us, no matter what we have to leave behind. We have to, and I shared this earlier, but we have to talk about what we have seen and experienced. We have to be able to have hard conversations with each other about this. There has to be accountability. So I'm going to ask you again, what is hindering you from being all in with Jesus? Because being all in with Jesus means you are going to have an active and alive divine desire. Is it because you feel unworthy? We just read this. In Ephesians, Paul urges the church to walk in according to the calling which they have been given. A priestly calling. Sons and daughters of the Most High. Jesus wouldn't have prayed for you if you didn't matter to him, if you weren't worthy. You are worthy because of the strength of God inside of you. You are worthy because of the love of God inside of you. So do we want to be that church? Do we want to be? Because the tension here is something that we've seen from the beginning. Are we listening to God? And then are we obeying it? Are we hearing God? If we want to be like this church, we have to devote ourselves to teachings. We have to devote ourselves to each other, to prayer, to the intimate love of Christ. Because if we obey, the fruit of our obedience will be the same as the fruit of this obedience. It's the same spirit. It's going to have the same outcome. Baltimore could become a city where there is no need among us. That is it's possible. Like, we can't just be sitting in our seats like, oh, this is nice to hear. This is possible. We could have this. We could have this. So I think an even greater question this morning, have we lost our divine desire? Have we quieted it so long that now it's dead? Because you cannot have the Spirit of God fully alive within you and be asleep to the aches of the world and be asleep to the pain that your brother or sister next to you is going through. Worship team, you can come back up. Gallery family, we are in a season of ridding ourselves of false doctrine, of apathy, of slothfulness, of selfishness. And we are putting on gladness and worship and attentiveness to the divine desire within us. Jesus can and will do more than we could ever ask or dream or imagine, but we have to say yes. We have to listen. We have to love God with our whole self, and we have to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's what Jesus meant with the two commandments. That's what divine desire is. We have to repent and forgive and obey and be wholly devoted over and over and over again. For those of you in here who have not chosen Jesus, he prayed for you. He prayed for you. His desire is to be one with you. For those of you in here who have lost your divine desire, Jesus prayed for you. His desire is to be one with you. So as we're singing this song, members of our prayer team will be in the back and they would love to pray with you, wherever you are on the scale of divine desire right now. And also during the song, we're going to take communion together, which is one of the things that they were devoted to. Devoted to the breaking of bread, devoted to the Lord's Supper, devoted to sharing meals together. This is intimacy with each other. This is where the fruit of the Lord will burst through if we say yes, if we're fully present in it. So this morning, let's practice. God is with us. His strength is waiting on high for us. We just have to say yes. We just have to say yes.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Gallery Church podcast. I want you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your mind and heart. Let Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, do the deep work that only he can do. I want to say thank you to everyone who gives to the church. Your gifts make this podcast and ministry possible here in Baltimore and other parts of the world. You can be a part of our work by going to gallerychurchbaltimore.com/give or by downloading the church app from the App Store. You can also subscribe and share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thank you again for listening or watching, and may God's grace and peace be with you.